We discovered that there were secrets that your body was trying to tell you that could really help you optimize performance. But no one could monitor those things. And that's when we set out to build the technology that we thought could really change the world.
Welcome to the Whoop Podcast. I'm your host, Will Ahmed, founder and CEO of Whoop, where we are on a mission to unlock human performance. At Whoop, we measure the body 24/7. And provide analytics to our members to help improve performance. This includes strain, recovery, and sleep. Our clients range from the best professional athletes in the world, to Navy SEALs, to fitness enthusiasts, to Fortune 500 CEOs and executives. The common thread among Whoop members is a passion to improve. What does it take to optimize performance for athletes, for humans, really anyone? We're launching a podcast to dig deeper. We'll interview experts and industry leaders across sports, data, technology, physiology, athletic achievement, you name it. My hope is that you'll leave these conversations with some new ideas and a greater passion for performance. With that in mind, I welcome you to the Whoop Podcast.
There's like a couple different kinds of skateboarding. The usual household skateboarding where it's like the X Games, and then there's street skating. You don't really know about us as much because we're more of like the raw culture skateboarding, the guys that you see on the streets and stuff. Basically, the skateboard is our paintbrush, and then the world is our canvas.
How are we doing today, folks? My guest today is professional skateboarder Neen Williams. Neen's story is a fascinating one. A serious knee injury at 28 years old made him realize he was throwing away his career from drinking and partying. And by the way, when you spend time with this guy, he has just a great way about him. He's definitely reached a place in his life where he's calm and he's focused. And he's got a lot of performance hacks that I found pretty interesting. We talk about how he got into skateboarding and when he realized he could become a pro, the changes he made both physically and mentally after tearing his ACL and going sober, how he uses Whoop and the strain skateboarding puts on his body, what makes him a high-performance athlete and what he does to maintain that, and his goals going forward. Neen was just recently made one of the faces of Lululemon, so you can actually see him if you go to lululemon.com. On the men's section, he's one of the face of the brand, and you'll also see a Whoop strap there. Overall, Neen is an amazing dude, and I think you're going to enjoy this. Here's Neen.
Neen, thanks for coming on, man.
Thanks for having me.
So we're out here in LA for a Whoop photo shoot. I've gotten to watch you in action the last 2 days. Mm-hmm. You've got some unbelievable handles on the skateboard.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
So how'd you first get into skateboarding?
Well, that was like a long time ago, probably when I was 13, 14 years old, somewhere around then. I was never really good at playing sports or anything, so I was kind of like a nerd in school. And I mended in with this like group of kids that were also kind of nerdish, but the difference was that they skateboarded, you know. And I didn't even know what skateboarding was at the point. You know, I would see it on The Simpsons or something like that, like Bart Simpson's like skating or something. But I didn't even know what skating was, and these guys had skateboards, and they knew how to do tricks and stuff. So after school, I would be hanging out with them.
And where did you grow up?
I grew up in Chicago.
Okay, so yeah. This is in Chicago.
In Chicago. Yeah, so I would hang out with these kids, and they'd skate, and you know they'd let me borrow their board and stuff and try to teach me tricks. Super hard skill to learn, you know, but by process of trying and trying and failure on each trick, I kind of like grew an addiction towards it, you know, and literally haven't put my skateboard down since. It's been like 20 years plus,
and it's amazing.
Been skating since then.
At what point in your life did you realize it could actually be a career? Because that's a bit of a leap.
Yeah, I mean, I just always skated for fun, and eventually like I got good enough with like the skill level and stuff that I started like I picked up some sponsors and stuff,
right?
And when I started picking up sponsors, I started getting like my skateboards for free or my shoes for free and stuff like that. And then you see and you hear about other people that were professional and getting actually paid to ride a skateboard, and that kind of always like lit, you know, it did something to me. Like, I was like, wow, like if only I could get to that level, you know. But it was so far-fetched, but it was like, it was always something there. But at the end of the day, I always just loved to just skate for fun, you know, and just kind of let things happen the way it happens, you know.
What was the most like normal square job you've had in your life, or literally did you just skateboard the whole time straight through?
I was like a bar back for a little bit. Yeah, just yeah. Cleaning up cups and mopping up drunk people's messes and stuff. And
must make you super appreciative of where you are today.
Yeah, definitely. A lot of hustling, bustling, just whatever. You know, we'd get free skate product and you would just like hustle that for like a meal or pay bills or stuff like that, you know. And that's kind of, those are like the jobs growing up.
Well, you know, having spent the last 2 days with you, like, you're a super fit guy and you look ripped and like you look super healthy. You look like you're very focused on performance. Now, there was a period in your life when that wasn't the case, right?
Yeah. Growing up, I always partied and drank and stuff with friends. I lived like that cliche skate life of just drinking, partying, just having freedom, basically, you know. It took to a couple years later, after I turned pro, is when like I made the change to kind of go on more of a health and wellness journey than like really clean up my act, you know.
Was there a moment where you're like, I gotta dial this back, or I've got a problem, or?
Yeah, basically I turned pro with a bunch of my sponsors, and at this point I was like real partying a lot and then skating a lot, and then the partying started getting more frequent and I started skating less, and I started like really getting to a point where I was like kind of throwing away my career. I was just kind of just like breaking even, you know. I was just
like, you weren't getting better at skateboarding.
I wasn't getting better. I was just coasting
every day
pretty much. Yeah. And what ended up happening was I kept trying to like film tricks and do my skateboarding job, you know, and I ended up tearing my ACL.
Oh shit.
And tearing your ACL, I'm sure you know, it's like it yeah. takes like 6 months to heal from it, but then like still like another year from that to get to back to where you were and progressing and stuff, you know.
Yeah.
So I tore my ACL, and when I tore my ACL, it was like something clicked in my head saying like, hey, like, you're throwing away your career. Because you never notice yourself doing a bad thing until something happens, you know? Like, I was going so far off the route that I was supposed to be on. And because I couldn't see this, I just kept going. And then I tore my ACL, and then it, like, made me realize, like, hey, you're messing up, dude. Like, time to snap in. Get everything you can out of life while you can. Like,
how old are you at this point?
I was 28.
28 years old.
It was about four and a half years ago. Yeah. Basically, what happened was I tore the ACL and everything snapped, and I was just like, wow, you're throwing away your life. Like, time to like really get everything you can out of life. I worked so hard to get to where I am in skateboarding. Like, it's so hard to get to become a professional skater. It's the hardest thing.
Yeah,
so like hard. It's like winning the lottery. It's like, you know, like all these other sports like basketball, football, all that. It's like, it's the same process to turn into a pro.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like, you get all the way up there and you're just partying and throwing it away, you know, just living life like there is no tomorrow. And it was the wrong way to live, you know. Like, when you get to a place like that, you should be doing something positive for the community.
On some level, do you feel like if you hadn't had that accident, you know, you may not have cleaned up your act?
Yeah, you know, that's like one of my fears, really, is just, you know, the the things that I went through kind of shaped me to who I am today, you know, and if I didn't have that accident, I probably wouldn't be where I am today, you know. I'd probably be
lost. There's a silver lining to that for anyone listening, which is that sometimes, like, the deepest moment of darkness comes at great outcome.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, sometimes you need to hit rock bottom, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like for you that was your moment of rock bottom.
Yeah, it definitely was. It was my moment of clarity, you know, you can say.
And what was your road to recovery?
So basically, when this all happened, I planned to just take off 6 months. You know, 6 months from no drinking, no partying, just so my ACL could heal properly. You know, I got the ACL reconstruction surgery and all that. Got a donor and all that stuff in my ACL. So 6 months, and then you're basically good, and then you have to do, like, physical therapy and all that stuff and build back the muscle. But I was like, I'll take off 6 months, and the thing's going to heal properly and faster, because when you're drinking while you're healing, your body's trying to fight two things at once. It's trying to heal your body from the alcohol poisoning that you just put in, and then it's also trying to heal your ACL or your injury that you have, you know? So I figured I'm going to give it one thing to work on.
You know? Was it hard for you to be sober for 6 months after that kind of a lifestyle?
It wasn't that bad because, you know, at this point I had goals. You know, I was 28. I was like, you know, I really want to skate as well as I can. And I want to get back into work as fast as I can. You know, like, I want to get back and film my video part.
It's affecting your livelihood in a dramatic way.
Exactly. It's like, now I have to sit around and play video games for 6 months, you know. But, like, I'm trying to get back out there on the field, you know, and skate. So, basically the first 2 weeks were the hardest because I had to sacrifice a lot. Like, a lot of the friends and places and things that I did at the time, I had to, like, basically cut that all off in order to stay away from partying and drinking. So I just spent, like, the first 2 weeks in my house, which is fine. I mean, I couldn't walk anyways.
Yeah, right.
You know,
you're not gonna be the life of the party if you can't walk.
Exactly. So I chilled inside my house and started healing up and all that good stuff. And after 2 weeks, I stopped, like, the urge to drink kind of got smaller and smaller, you know, and the longer I went, the easier it got. And then the days just started passing by. And one of my bosses, he told me this really good bit of information. He said, you know, whenever you get an urge to drink, wait 10 minutes. Because if you wait 10 minutes, 9 times out of 10, your mind ends up doing something else. Like, you'll be like, oh, I want to drink. Like, I'm going to drink right now. Like, don't act. Wait. And then in 10 minutes, you'll find yourself doing something else. And you don't even want that drink or that cigarette or whatever anymore, you know? So that was a very, like, valuable tool that I used while I was in the first few stages, you know?
And so today, I mean, this is now 4.5 years later from the accident. Are you sober? Like, have you not had a drink since?
Yeah, I haven't had one sip.
It's amazing.
Yeah, like, I've been to a couple bars, but I haven't had a sip of beer. I haven't even, like, been like, oh, let me try that cocktail.
Like, so it's like, you flipped the switch.
Yeah, I flipped the switch, and now, you know, my goals are, I want longevity, you know, I want to skate forever.
And it's all in your mind, very goal-centric. You're not part of communities like AA and other things.
No, I never went to AA. This is all just something I did by myself. For myself, for the better of my health and my goals and my career. You know?
Well, the only regret in all of it is that we didn't have Whoop data on you during during your partying heyday. Like, the before and after of that, you'll look like two different human beings.
Yeah, for sure. I was bad. Like, I was in a dark hole. Like, I was bad.
So, for you today, like, how do you use Whoop and how do you think about it? I mean, I imagine that the technology contributes very nicely to what you've got as a lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you use Whoop in your day-to-day life?
You know, I always have it strapped on my arm. And, well, really, what I use it for is just kind of, like, It's like acknowledgement. Like, I like to see how much I burn in a day, like how much I should be eating, you know, to replenish myself from that. I like to see how recovered I am from sleep. You know, it's just nice to have that data. Like, sometimes I wake up and I'll feel like shit, and I'll be like, why do I feel like shit? But now I have that data, so I could look at the app and be like, oh, like, I'm only 23% recovered. I'm in the red. Like, no wonder why I feel like shit.
Yeah.
Guess I should take a nap today, you know? Right. So it's just, I use it every day, and it's really been helping my performance and even my confidence, you know? Like, just days I'm in the green, I'm like, all right, full throttle today. Like, we're going gung-ho, you know?
Yeah, right.
So it's been a really, it's been an eye opener, and it's really helped my performance in my life, you know?
Well, that's a good point that you made about confidence, because I've found in talking to people like yourself who are competing, right? And like trying to be super high performance, like you already have built a mindset of I'm going to win today. But when you have a product that's also then telling you, no, literally based on your physiology, you're going to perform really well today.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a huge added lift I've found.
Definitely.
And then the other thing is you're an animal, right? Like, you know, now knowing a day that you have a low recovery, that's actually may hold you back in a healthy way because otherwise you would have just ripped it.
Yeah. Like, I have a hard time trying to hold myself back every day because I want to go full throttle every single day, every single moment.
Yeah, what does full throttle look like for, like, paint a picture for the average listener?
Full throttle to me is, like, I wake up, I stretch, mobility, and then I work out for, like, an hour or so, and then I hit the Stairmaster for, like, another half an hour. And then from there, I usually skate for about 4 or 5 hours or so, you know, come home, make dinner, all that stuff. And I might even check in for some more like unconventional workout, like kettlebells or something like that.
How does the skateboarding for 3 or 4 hours on Whoop, like what is the strain of skateboarding?
It's super gnarly.
Really?
It's almost like, I think an hour is close to like 700-800 calories burnt.
Wow.
Yeah, so if you're doing like 5 hours, it's like give or take.
You're moving all day based on the schedule you just told me.
Skateboarding too is like, it's a full body. Like, it's explosive, it's full body, it's a lot of cardio, you know, you're using everything.
Yeah, I mean, I was watching you yesterday like take off for a couple tricks, and it looks like you're like running full speed into that.
Yeah, it's a sprint.
Yeah,
like,
it's totally
like a boom.
It's intense.
Mm-hmm.
And have you compared the activity strain on Whoop of like a skateboarding activity versus, say, your morning hour workout or high cardio workout?
The skateboarding definitely is a lot higher.
Higher strain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
That's
like,
interesting.
On the body, even just like the adrenaline, because when you're jumping down stairs and grinding handrails, like, your heart's going because it's kind of like a make or break situation. Like, you have to do everything correct or else you're going to sack your balls or, you know, you're going to fall down the stairs, you know? So you gotta, it's a very like boom, 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 like your heart's pumping moment, you know?
Now, we were talking about this, earlier today. You like to create in the environment. Like, explain more about that.
So with skateboarding, there's like a couple different kinds of skateboarding. There's like the usual household skateboarding where it's like the X Games and like half bike vert ramp kind of skating. And then there's street skating, which I am. I'm a professional street skater. You don't really know about us as much because we're more of like the raw culture skateboarding, the guys that you see on the streets and stuff. We basically, like, the skateboard is our paintbrush, and then the world is our canvas. Like, the streets, downtown, the benches, the stairs.
That's beautiful, yeah.
Yeah, the handrails.
It's just a nice way to look at life, too, man.
Yeah, it's all, like, you create what you want. It's, like, full, like, mind to muscle to physical. It's just, like, we have the power to kind of create what we want in the day, so it's, like, full freedom to create.
And what percentage of the time, I mean, I'm playing this out, you're kind of connecting these dots, like, you're walking down the sidewalk, you see like some steps going up to something, you see a bench over there, and then immediately you think, okay, I'm going to fly off the steps and land on the bench, right?
Yeah.
At what moment were you like, that's a great idea, that's a bad idea? You know, and by the way, is it always like, you're not even really sure if you can do it?
So when you see like a bench to stairs or stairs to a bench,
yeah, right.
Or a
what's the risk assessment there?
I mean, there's always going to be a risk. Like, I put skateboarding as, like, if you're going to pick up a skateboard today and start trying to learn tricks, 90% of the time, even for, like, a professional like me, you're falling. You know, 10% you're landing stuff. Yeah, that's just how it is, because it's like you're taking an object on some wheels, a moving object, and you're, like, flipping it around and jumping and you're landing on it. There's so many factors that could go wrong, you know? So the key is knowing that you can fall at any time, but putting the confidence in your mind that I'm not going to fall. You know, so when I see stairs, handrail, bench, and I'm like putting things together, I'm like, oh, I could jump off those stairs and slide that bench and then like grind down that handrail. I know the risk factors there, but in my mind, I'm trying to be as confident as possible. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you're always ready to fall. So if something goes wrong, like you could get out of it. You got to have like cat-like reflexes. You could get out of it, but
going into a trick, are you only visualizing how it's successful, or will you also in your mind know how you're going to bail?
You kind of have them both, but you lean more towards the success.
Yeah.
Because confidence is key with skateboarding. Like, you have to be confident.
Well, you have to thread a needle, right?
Exactly.
And if you're looking outside the lines,
yeah,
you're going to end up outside the lines.
You have to know the possibility of you failing is there, but you want to do everything it takes to do it right and do it first try and ride away clean.
Now that you're monitoring yourself on Whoop, like, will you look at, on a day you've gotten, you know, not enough sleep or your recovery is super low, will that make you rethink some of the tricks that you might try that day?
Oh, definitely. If I have like low recovery, I'm going to go out and just kind of push around and have fun, you know, just be free, like carve around some bowls or some transition, like maybe skate a bench, but like mellow, I'm not going to like flip my board into a slide and flip my board out, because that takes too much physical and mind power, you know, and if I'm not recovered enough, there's so much chance for me to like hurt myself, you know, or injure myself.
Yeah, totally. So what are some things in your daily life that you find also contribute to, you know, you being a high performance athlete? Our audience loves to think about different life hacks and, you know, biohacks that they can try to incorporate in their life to improve their bodies.
Yeah, just getting the right amount of sleep is one thing that helps, you know, just, I mean, at least 8 hours a night. Also, just being on a nice diet, you know, a good diet plan.
What's your
good
diet
nutrition
look like?
I eat right now very lean, kind of low carb, higher fat, you know, that's just kind of what.
Very popular in LA, by the way.
Yeah, it is. But I'm a little bit.
I haven't seen someone eat a sandwich out here.
I know, yeah, bread's like the devil. Yeah, but I eat a little bit more high carb I eat a little bit more carbs than like the normal high fat person, just because.
You're not like full keto. Right?
No, I'm not full keto.
So you'll eat what, rice?
Yeah, I eat rice, white rice, or like use bone broth to make my rice.
Bone broth, I've heard great things about.
Yeah.
I haven't done a deep dive on it.
It's really nice, you know, good nutrition, you know, a lot of goodness in that.
Now, do you take any supplements?
Yeah, just the normal ones, like natural supplements, like amino acids, vitamin C, vitamin D for my bones. I mean, I'm wrestling with the concrete.
Yeah, I imagine bone density is critical for you.
Exactly. I take some nootropics, you know, for the brain, the focus, you know.
And have you seen value in that?
I feel like it works. I feel a lot sharper, you know, but
what kind of brand do you take?
On It.
Okay.
Alpha Brain. I like taking that one a lot.
I just did a podcast with Kyle Kingsbury on the On It podcast.
Oh, sick.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I like
those. They're a good brand.
Yeah, I'm not a big supplement guy myself, but they seem to have
they have all the right
supplements. They have a good product, and I respect the people who are behind the business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're cool people.
Yeah. How about on the sleep side of things? Will you ever take anything before bed? Any tricks to sleeping that you find helpful?
Just put the phone down.
What's your phone routine?
I try to put it down like an hour before bed.
That's great.
Yeah, and yeah, just really kind of lounge there and zone out, basically, you know? I actually do well with noise. Like, I'll watch, like, a documentary or something.
Oh,
so
cool.
Something monotone just puts me out.
Huh.
I sleep really easy. Like, I'll go right out really fast.
Well, you're so active, and it helps a lot.
Yeah, that's another thing. It's like, if you have trouble sleeping, it probably means that you aren't doing enough during the day, possibly, or there's so much on your mind, you know?
Yeah, that's one way to think about it.
But one way to go to sleep easy is just tire yourself out, you know, like, just get out there and, like, go for it, you know? And when you get home, you're going to see your bed and you're just going to be so stoked. You're going to lay down and go to sleep, you know?
Yeah, I think that's true for 90% of people. There's definitely a population of people that is tired, that
yeah,
can't sleep.
Definitely.
And those are the people that I think more recently we've been adding those people to the Whoop population.
Sick.
And it's interesting to see how they're trying now to, because those are the people that, like, they need to really, really focus on all
mm-hmm.
these things. And every little detail can make a huge difference. Cold room, no noise,
mm-hmm.
wear an eye mask, you know, no blue light, put your phone away.
Mm-hmm.
All these things can start to compound on themselves, and all of a sudden, you can finally fall asleep.
You ever try taking, like, magnesium or anything like that, zinc?
Magnesium. I like magnesium. I like magnesium. I especially like it for athletes.
Mm-hmm.
I personally take melatonin.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I won't take it every night, but
yeah.
I probably take it 4 or 5 nights a week.
Well, it's kind of like coffee. It's like, if you take it every night, it's not going to have the same effect almost. Like, your
totally.
Body kind of gets immune
yeah,
to
you
it.
Want to trick your body a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, like,
that
cycle night. Through it.
Yeah, so I probably won't take it on weekends or on a day where I've exercised a lot and I feel like I'm going to be able to fall asleep easily.
Yeah.
Whereas if I'm traveling, that's the biggest time. I always have it with me. And I prefer the ones that dissolve.
Okay.
Have you taken melatonin at all?
Not really. I don't, like, I'm telling you,
I mean,
I just
you
pass
really
out.
Need it.
I'll take magnesium from time to time.
Do you travel much or are you here most of the time?
I do travel a lot.
So the next time you're on a different time zone,
mm-hmm.
if that affects you at all, melatonin can be good if you're trying to get onto a new time zone.
Back into schedule,
yeah,
basically.
Right.
Okay.
Now, there's actually benefits to not switching onto a different time zone. So if you're going like East Coast, West Coast, East Coast, and you're only going to spend 36 hours on the West Coast,
mm-hmm.
it actually may be better to stay on an East Coast time horizon. So if you normally, you know, if you'll normally wake up at, I don't know, 7:30 a.m., then actually try to wake up at, 10:30 when you're on the
same
West
thing.
Coast, you
yeah.
know, so it's an equivalent.
Mm-hmm.
It's an interesting phenomenon. We've seen this now with a number of sports teams where if they actually stay on the same time zone, so they're literally eating at the same time,
yeah.
they're, going through the same schedule, literally, that they would have done on the East Coast.
That's awesome. I never thought of
it. It actually, yeah, it improves their performance.
Yeah.
Because it's as if they never changed time zones.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're going to be on a new time zone for a week or longer, that's where also a product can help you kind of get on
okay.
the right schedule. At least that's how we've worked with some of our elite teams.
See.
Now, for you, what about different recovery products? I mean, in LA, I imagine a lot of stuff's popular. Have you ever done things like cryotherapy? Do you have anything in contrast therapy, things like that?
Yeah, I've done I can never pronounce
cryotherapy.
That. Cryo.
Yeah, it's called cryo.
I've done cryo. I like that a lot. Personally, I like using the Theragun, just keeping the blood
yeah.
going, you know, anything
I
like
use the
that.
Hyper Ice One, Hypervolt.
Oh, sick.
But there's effectively similar products.
Yeah, it's really beneficial, I think, for keeping me from getting sore and just warming my muscles up before I skate or work out or anything like
awesome.
That. Lots of stretching, just anything like that, you know, really, just
kind of stretching. Yeah.
I used to do this thing called ARP wave. Have you ever done that?
No.
It's super gnarly. It's like, so it's like those what they're called, like electric stem, you know,
those things.
So it's like those things, but like on crack.
Oh, it's much like more intense.
Super intense. And they crank the thing up as high as you can go. So your muscles just start pulling it. It feels like your muscles are going to rip, you know?
Yeah.
And then when you're like, all right, that's it. Like you stand up and they have you do squats or like Supermans or something while the thing is pulling on your muscles.
Holy shit.
And it's supposed to just like realign all your muscles because you end up compensating like certain muscles when you're hurt and injured or you play a sport a certain way, you compensate for like certain muscles. So this kind of therapy helps all your muscles like fire again.
Wow. I haven't tried that. I'm going to look that up.
It's called ARP Wave.
All right. We'll include that in the show notes for people interested.
Yeah. It's super crazy.
So at this stage in your life, what are some of your personal goals?
Some of my personal goals right now, I'm building a business, like my own business, you know, just I want to make merch and just like random things that I'm into and I'd like to share with people, like my little like lunch containers and just stuff like that I use on the day to day. And you could kind of see all of this stuff on my social media, like my YouTube and my Instagram. Like I post stories of like the meals I'm making.
And what are your handles for people listening?
My handle is just Neen Williams, N-E-E-N Williams. It's just plain and simple, my name, you know.
Perfect.
But yeah, just I'm building a business right now. I'm getting all that legal stuff done and all that. And I'll have stuff coming out pretty soon.
Oh, that's awesome.
And then another goal is just kind of help people, you know, help my skate community. Just help people like just kind of just deal with like what I dealt with, you know, all the information that I've learned today and that I put out on my social media and all that stuff is like stuff that I wish I knew when I was younger, when I was partying super hard.
Yeah.
You know, like just like how to take care of your body, like longevity, like exercise, fitness, like all this stuff I put on my Instagram because back then, if there was someone like me in this place right now, like I would have been so stoked to learn all this stuff earlier. And if I would have learned it earlier, I'd probably feel a million times better right now, you know, just
totally.
As a whole, you know.
What's the number one piece of advice you'd give to, you know, an 18-year-old Neen?
I would just say, you know, stretch and moderation is key. Moderation in all things, like drinking alcohol, partying. Like, you could party, you could drink, but just don't go so hard. You know what I mean? Like, have a beer or two or three. Like, you don't need to drink the whole 30 pack by yourself. You know what I mean? Like, just like things like that, you know. It was just, I live a very extreme life. I mean,
yeah.
I'm in extreme sports, you know, so I always took things to the next level.
And there's a culture around extreme sports too. Mm-hmm. I think like the culture around extreme sports is you have to be extreme all the time.
Yeah, and you're just used to that.
Yeah, and I think you're a great example for anyone who still loves that from a passion standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
You know, wants to compete in a sport or be part of a sport that is cutting edge, where you may fall, where you have to be on kind of the edge of your seat, where you have to have big balls, so to speak. You mm-hmm. know, but you can also be like a healthy person.
Yeah, you could be healthy. There's nothing wrong with being healthy. You know, it's only gonna help you in the end. And that's what I'm about. It's like longevity in skateboarding, but it doesn't only apply to skateboarders or extreme sports people. It applies to everybody. Like if you just follow, like if you're just mindful with what you do in life, like you could do whatever you love forever.
Totally. And how do you think about social media now? I mean, you've obviously built a meaningful following. It seems like you've got lots of fans out there. Is it something for you where you think of it as part of your business? Is it for you to connect with younger people and tell those stories? And how do you also make sure you don't overdo it?
I mean, I just do a post a day for the most part.
Yeah.
So I'm trying not to overdo it, you know, just one random thing a day. And I think it's a really awesome tool, you know, like back in the day, you couldn't reach anybody. But now with social media, you can reach all sorts of people of all ages, you know, whoever follows you. So if you want to help someone, or people could directly message you like with their problems, or if they have a question, you know, and if I have some time and stuff to sit down and read it and like answer it back, like I do. I answer like 5 or 6 a day, you know, which is actually a lot. It takes a lot of time to answer them back heartfelt, you know, like from my heart, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm the guy that takes care of all my social media. Like no one touches it, you know? And
oh, that's great.
I just put positive.
So it's really authentic.
It's really authentic. And I just try to put positive messages out there. You know what I mean? I'm not there to show off or be like, oh, do this, do that. It's like, nah, you know, it's, this is just what I'm doing, and it's helping me as a person, and it's helping my career. And like, you know, here it is. Like, if you like it, you like it, and you can try it too if you want to, but if not, like, it's okay. Like,
well, you got a very positive way about you, you know, just being around you. You strike me as someone who's generally, like, happy and uplifted.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something that you find you have to work at? Or, you know, have you just built a lifestyle that makes you happy? I mean, I think for a lot of people, being happy is the hardest thing.
Yeah, I mean, I go through what the normal person goes through, you know, like traffic, anger, things going wrong, whatever, you know. But I always feel like you manifest your own reality. So if you're happy and you're positive, like positive and happy things are going to come your way.
Totally.
You know what I mean?
Totally.
If you're pissed off and mad all the time, like, guess what? That other pissed off mad person's gonna run into you, and now you guys are fighting, and then you're going to jail, and blah blah blah. You know, so it's like, I just think, you know, if we all just help each other and keep it a little bit more on the positive side, obviously there's gonna be negative, the yin and the yang, but like kind of more focus on the positive, we'll live better lives. You know?
Yeah, I think it's a great message, and I think that. At least for me, in you know, spending time with you, the way that you frame it, having come from this world of extreme sports, and having come from, you know, a point of view that frankly was like a little bit off the spectrum, right? Where you're just going too hard all the time. Do you think there's a gratefulness that comes with that today too?
Yeah, I mean, I'm super grateful for everything that came my way, you know, and I'm grateful for like the dark period of times that I had, because it's what built me, you know. It's what positive, like it was a negative time, but it made me the positive person that I am today. You know?
Well, that's a super important thing that you just said, is that you were grateful for that dark period.
Yeah, definitely was.
Like, I read a lot of these different self-help books and whatnot because I find the whole thing interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that for me seems like a recurring theme is, if you can find gratefulness in darkness, that reframes your life in a really interesting way. Because then the next time that something doesn't go your way and you can think about, hey, how can this actually be a positive? You just start looking for positive things.
Exactly.
You just start looking for opportunities.
Turn the negative.
For me as an entrepreneur,
positive.
I mean, that's been transformative. Mm-hmm. Is this concept of, if something doesn't go my way, how can I actually turn this into an opportunity? And it takes a little bit of creativity too.
For sure.
But that, I love how you just put that.
Hell yeah.
So what else can we expect from Neen over the next couple of years? Do you have any big events coming up or anything, you know?
I mean, tons of stuff. I never stop hustling. I never stop going. You know, I'm going to keep doing me to the fullest, you know, and whatever comes my way, I'm going to do it, you know. I'm going to try to throw a couple skate events, you know, in this upcoming months, year,
right.
Whatever, you know, skate events, give back, and also like bring awareness to just like health and wellness to the body and skate at the same time, you know, and just kind of teach people one-on-one, you know, here I am in the flesh. Let's talk, you know.
I like that marriage. It's a little disruptive when you first hear it, like health and wellness with skateboarding.
Yeah.
Because when I hear health and wellness, I think, you know, from a stereotypical standpoint, you kind of see yoga, you know, people eating kale, but then you pair it with pairs skateboarding, and then there's this image of, you know, someone doing this crazy trick and falling and getting bruised. And so the idea of pairing those two things, I think, is really disruptive in a fun way. Mm-hmm. And I think people will get behind it.
Yeah, I'm just trying to teach, you know, mindfulness, you know, just bring awareness of mindfulness in life.
Now, do you have any meditation practice, or what does mindfulness mean to you?
Mindfulness is just being aware of your surroundings, you know. That's kind of just being present, being here, you know, like knowing your body from head to toe, you know, and understanding each person is an individual and being open to, like, talk to them and let them in, you know, instead of being like, oh, I don't like you. It's like, hold up, let me, you know, let me understand the being that you are, you know, and just being mindful to everything. Like, how can you help yourself in a sport? How can you, like, reach your optimal level? How can you have longevity in your sports or whatever you love to do, you know? Like, how, that's what's mindful to me.
Well, the point that you made about waiting 10 minutes to see if you actually wanted a drink.
Yeah.
Right? That to me is a form of mindfulness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're second guessing your own instincts to try to build better instincts.
Exactly.
On some level, right? And you're just, there's a therapeutic process to that.
That method works perfectly. It's insane.
What are some resources or books that you find you know, helpful for you as you try to better understand wellness and health?
I don't read a lot. Right now I'm reading the David Goggins book. I like him.
He's an interesting
motivational person. Yeah. He's gone through a lot, so I really like reading his words because, you know, he went through a rough upbringing and, like, found himself, you know?
Totally.
So I'm reading that right now.
That.
Yeah. I listen to a lot of podcasts, you know, and that's where I get a lot of my information
from. What are some of your favorite podcasts?
I mean, I like a lot of the Joe Rogan ones, you know.
Great.
I like when he has, like, a lot of the scientists and nutritionists on his...
I think Rogan's great. We're fortunate now to be partners with Joe, and he's a whoop user, so that's cool.
Yeah, sick, man.
Yeah, so I like his podcast. What's been your lowest recovery on Whoop and why?
So I've been trying to get to one.
I
haven't made it to one yet, but...
if I see a 1%, I'm going to know that was a blowout relapse from me.
I'll send it to you.
Like meth bender.
Oh my God. No, I think the lowest was 21.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's pretty civilized.
I'm always around like 20. I'm like in the red or the yellow normally just because... I go hard every day, you know. I do like triples, doubles every day, you know, and then I'll recover one day and then I'll
and then you'll be green
again.
Yeah.
So I'm just steady going, you know, mentally, physically. There's always something to be done.
Cool, man. Well, look, we love having you on Whoop, and it's been really fun spending time with you for the last couple of days, and best of luck in your next adventure.
Thank you.
Thanks again to Neen for coming on the show. You can expect to see a lot more of him across our website and social media channels in the months ahead. If you're not already a member, you can join the Whoop community now for as low as $18 a month. We'll provide you with 24/7 access to your biometric data, as well as analytics across strain, sleep, recovery, and more. The membership comes with a free Whoop Strap 2.0. And for listening to this podcast, folks, if you enter the code WILLAHMED, that's WILLAHMED, at checkout, we'll give you $30 off. So thank you for listening. Put $30 on my tab, and hopefully you enjoy Whoop. For our European customers, the code is WILLAHMEDEU. Just tack EU on the end of my name, and that'll get you €30 off when you join. Check out whoop.com/thelocker for show notes and more, including links to relevant topics from our conversation. You can subscribe, rate, and review the Whoop podcast on iTunes, Google, Spotify, or wherever you found this podcast. We'd love to hear your feedback. You can find me online at Will Ahmed and follow at Whoop on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. You can also email thelocker@whoop.com with any thoughts, ideas, or suggestions.
For our current members, we've got a lot of new gear in the Whoop store. I suggest you check that out. It includes 6, 12, and 18-month gift cards, help you save over time. We've got new bands, new colors, new textures. Visit whoop.com for more. Thank you again for listening to the Whoop podcast. We'll see you next week.